Oh, so the oh, okay. Woo! I thought that was amplification. I thought, okay, I guess I'm really just out loud. Okay, so what are we going to talk about today? So maybe you've heard about this stuff called CSR and some other sessions. Anybody go to Wes's session on Tuesday? Awesome. I love the interactivity today. We're going to talk about how we can customize content search, and we're going to really dive deep into display templates. Now, the difference between this and other display template sessions, a lot of times you see a bunch of maps and a bunch of crap you're not going to actually use. We're going to go deep into this thing, and we're going to look at the JavaScript you need to know, and I'm going to leave you with some references to really get you started and get going. And I'm going to leave you with code. I have a blog post I'm going to publish here in just a few minutes, and it's going to have all the display templates we used in this talk today for you to walk with you, okay? Does that sound good? I love it. Did anyone see any of my blog posts earlier last week on some of the topics? Of course not, but anyhow, I'm glad you all are here today. Let's get going. So we're going to learn, of course, what are the types of display templates, and we're going to learn about the in-depth HTML and JavaScript that goes with it, and you know, what does the development lifecycle of these things kind of look like? And then at the very end, I'm going to have a reference section of just key JavaScript to know, because it turns out there's not a lick of documentation on this subject whatsoever. So hopefully, with the information I arm you with, you'll have a fighting chance of doing your own. So what is CSR? Well, it's a client-side rendering technology. And it turns out display templates, you know, although they're not like CSR where you're doing a list, it's the same technology underneath. Basically, it's a bunch of JavaScript. It just happens to have this nice HTML interface so that we can kind of work with a more friendlier interface, so we can embed some JavaScript in it, and it creates this JavaScript file that the browser knows how to load on demand and in a nice, performant, and efficient manner. So what are some examples of display templates? Let's see if my slide works. So that's like an item result. Maybe you've seen one like that before, you know. What some of our favorite features? These are all display templates. Refiners, this is the use of content search web part, the picture carousel. Content search web part, you kind of get out of the back. Maybe you've seen some pie charts before. These are all done with display templates. And then, of course, that's what we're building today. And hey, did you know you were using them when you're on MySPC? Good. You don't need to be here, then you can leave. But I'll tell you how to build some of this stuff. So why do you care? Well, these are like your key to content rollup, and this really is the easiest way for you to do it. And any kind of WCM scenario, this is really your best bet for delivering reusable content. It eliminates a lot of code. Anyone come from the XSLT days of 2007, 2010? All right, so you all done your time in the trenches. You know what the pain is. So this is better, I promise. And we're not going to do any XSLT today, I promise, to make great-looking search results. Got it. And of course, you know, better search results, of course, are, you know, definitely can't hurt when it comes to adoption. So, where can we use display templates? Well, obviously, you probably already figured out the search center, right? I got a few highlighted there. There's the item result and the hover panel and all that. We're going to look at a lot of those today. But, you know, you can really use them anywhere. You know, this is content search, and so the power of using search to provide results to users, well, they don't even know they're doing a query. You know, you wrote the query for them, you're giving them what they need, and search is powering all these things underneath the scenes. So we're going to start with content search, and then later in the talk, we'll talk about the search center and customizing that. Did any of you go to the previous session here by McDermott? So he showed you some cool stuff, didn't he? So we're going to kind of build on that. And thankfully, I think he gave me a plug. He did, right? All right. He promised me he would. I don't have to talk to him later. So let's look at content search. So this is your best web part for content rollup. You know, before we used to use content query web part, and that worked all right, and end users kind of, you know, found their way through it. But this is really the way to do it going forward. It has this nice looking query builder that even, you know, my wife can create queries, and she's an end user. Anyone know my wife to go to her sessions, Jennifer Mason? Yeah, of course not, you're developers. But we're going to look at how we can customize this. And one thing to point about this particular web part is there is a licensing restriction on it, unfortunately. So it requires Enterprise Edition of your on-prem, and it requires an E3 or an E4 of SPO. So some of you may have it, some of you may not. But if you don't have Enterprise, you don't need to run out the door, because display templates can be used in a lot of ways, like on the search results web part. So a lot of what you learn here can be applied to that, and you can kind of get some of the same techniques even though you don't have content search web part. Okay? So don't worry. So we're going to dump straight into a demo. It's going to be simple, but we're going to show the out-of-the-box stuff so we have a baseline of what we're dealing with, and then we're going to build on that and customize it from there. Does that work for y'all? Just to set the level playing field. So we're going to switch over to my demo machine. Looks like it's coming through. And here we are on our lovely IT website. And they've done a lovely job with the CSS, so some of it doesn't render light and resolution. So if you know any branding people, you know, you might talk to Microsoft Demos team. And I'm going to edit this page. And then we're just going to go add the content search web part is what we're going to do. And so Office 365 was running pretty slow for McDermott when he's up here, so let's hope it runs a little better for me. And we're going to click Add Web Part. And first I'm going to show you, you might think it might be under search or search-driven content, and like pictures, that's where that pictures carousel, and that's display templates as well, actually. But what we're going to use is actually under Content Rollup, where our old friend Content Query was. So now we're going to do Content Search. We're going to add this guy. And we'll wait for it to pop on the page. Now, we need to edit this web part, and so I'm going to click right here, and I'm like, where's my edit menu? Well, this master page is so awesome, you have to go search for. Again, if anyone's in branding, you can find your job. I do not do branding, by the way. So anyhow, over here we have our properties, and the first thing we want to do is change our query. And so recently, Jennifer came to me, and she said, you know, I need a listing of all the sites that my users have access to, kind of a common scenario, right? And I'm like, oh, we can do that easily with content search. No problem. So what we do is we change query. And I know some of y'all saw some of this in Matt's session. We're going to kind of build on that. And it gives us our nice little results. And we can have a lot of pre-canned queries. But what I want is actually on the advanced mode, so bear with me. And we're going to clear out this query. And in this keyword filter box, you'll see right here, only return sites. And if we click Add Keyword Filter, it adds the actual KQL query that returns sites. Content class colon SDS underscore web. Now, if you want site collections instead, just change that to SDS underscore site. If we test the query, we now see all the sites I have access to. Okay, that's super awesome. Let's go okay. And we'll scroll down to see what it gives us. So now we have this display template. It's showing a picture, and it shows like the list of particular sites we have, but that's not quite right. You know, that's not probably the best display template. But let me show you a couple things we can do. First, we can have presented in different formats, so we can do paging and things like that. We're going to stay with the list for now. We're going to do some more fun ones later. This is the picture on left. It has this nice little diagnostic template where you can actually go see what the managed property mappings are, right? And so you can see what's being returned. So it's great for debugging if you screwed something up, which is easy to do. But what you can also do is this property mappings page. And when you click change the property mapping, you can actually go in and start adding your own managed properties here. So if you have particular things you want to see, the modified date or the author or something like that, you can add that. And so the reason I'm showing you this is they're each labeled line 1, line 2, line 3. We're going to use that later when we customize. But for now, I think what would work best is just a simple two-line template. And again, I'm going to change this by clicking that checkbox. And I'm going to add the path so it shows for us. I'm just going to click OK. And we'll give it a second to save. And when it refreshes, we now have the name of the site and the path to the site. Now, I get that, and my wife's like, that's great, but what's with that icon there? I'm like, oh, how do I get rid of it? I'm like, okay, no biggie. We could probably figure this out. You know, that icon makes a lot of sense when you're looking at documents, right? You know, but sites, not so much. So in our next demo, we're going to get rid of that, and we'll build from there. So I'm going to go back to our slides, and we're going to talk about editing display templates. So Where do we find them first to begin with? Well, they're actually hidden away in our master page gallery under a new place called, Display Templates. And there's a few folders of note. Content Web Parts is where your content search stuff is. There's a search, that's where your search center stuff is, and there's also one for filters, which is your refiners. We can also do some localization, which we'll talk about in the end. Now, you have a lot of options of editing these things because they're in the Master Pages gallery. So, we can edit it directly. We can just grab the file straight through the UI, download it, make a copy of it, and upload it. We can use our friend Design Manager, or we can use SharePoint Designer. So we have lots of options. We're going to look at pretty much all of them today. So how do you do it? Well, first, we don't want to change the existing out-of-the-box templates if we can avoid it. Sometimes we have to. So what do? We're going to copy it, we're going to edit it, and then we're going to upload it. All right, say it with me. Copy, edit, upload. All right, wasn't that fun? I know. So what's inside the display template? Well, it's just this HTML with this funky additional syntax, right? And it's the Microsoft was like, what would be the most possible difficult key combination to type in to work with these things? So they decided on, this bracket, exclamation, dash, dash, pound, underscore. And when you actually type that, the number of times the shift key you have to press is just insane. So there's no typing it fast. But you get used to it, or you can just copy and paste. Then for JavaScript variables, we'll actually see that when we start editing them. And this other syntax, underscore pound equal, also fairly difficult to type in. Now, the key thing inside this is there's one object that does a lot of our magic. And this is like a client context object is what it is. Think of it that. So CTX gets us access to all sorts of things. First, it gets us access to the item itself. So if we want to access those managed properties on our item result, we go through current item. There's also an index there that we can use to see, is this the first item being resulted or the last one? And then we can also access managed properties directly in a strongly typed manner. So there's a title and a path, or anything that you happen to add to it. This is also good if you need to communicate between display templates. So maybe you have a control template and an item template, and you want them to talk together. You can just add things onto it, because it's just JavaScript, right? So you could add properties to it and access them on both sides, and the context will flow through. So now let's go ahead and edit a display template. And so the first thing we're going to do is we're going to go find them. So we're going to leave this page. I'm just going to save it while we're here. I'm just going to open a new browser. And I'm going to go just so we have it. So we'll give that a second to load, or I can just do it this way. So we'll click on Site Settings. And then we find these things in Master Pages and Page Layouts. And then there's our Display Templates folder. And then, like I said, it's in Content Web Parts is where content search is. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to find our two lines template that we were just working with, and we're going to download it. And I'm just going to save it right onto my desktop. So we're saving it to our desktop. Then we'll go over to our desktop. So that was the copy part, right? We're going to rename it. So we're just going to call this item two lines SPC. And then let's go ahead and edit this with Notepad. And first thing I'm going to do is change the title. This is what shows up in the content search web part. So we're just going to call this the two lines SPC web part. This particular line here, manage property mapping, we'll work with it in a second. But this is where you do say, I want to access these managed properties. And we'll work with that in just a second. You can also change the description if you want. I don't know if that actually gets used anywhere. We'll talk about scripts in a little while and adding things like jQuery and some external libraries. And we'll also just change this div tag here, two lines SPC. Now, once you're into it, we retrieve managed property values with get item value. And you look in here, and we'll see one for our icon URL. So that tells me, okay, that's what I'm trying to get rid of, right? So down here, I see where my icon URL is being used in this image class. And so we're just going to kill this thing. And I'm going to save it. So I've saved it onto my desktop. Now we just need to upload it. So I'm going to go to Files, Upload Document, and Browse. And then there's an awesome picture of myself. And we'll upload it. And on the next screen, it'll just prompt you for some managed property values. You don't have to actually do a thing with it. We'll give it just a second. So there's where it's prompting me. I'm just going to hit Save. And now it's uploaded. And what it does behind the screens is it actually creates that JavaScript file for us. But we don't ever have to worry about that as a developer. Now we're going to edit the page again. And we're going to scroll down. And oops, I clicked a little too far. I'll click that, and we'll find our edit. Here, let's close that. It's messing it up. And we'll click Edit Web Part. And then we'll just pick that new display template out of the list, two lines SPC, and hit OK. And you see, you actually don't even have to hit OK. It actually updates in real time. And so that's all it takes to do is simple edit. Right now, I've lost our path below because I didn't save it. But pretty simple, right? So it's not that hard to get started. Now, I promise you we're going to do more than this. In the next demo, we're actually going to turn our search results into a nice-looking table. So let's keep going. Click, please. So I showed you some of this when we were editing it. The three things at the top of the file you're interested in are the title, the master page description, and the managed property mapping. This are just lets you configure what goes into the display template. When we're using managed properties, well, they're created automatically for us now with SBO in 2013, so we don't have to worry about them like we did in 2010 as much, which is nice when the full crawl kind of kicks in. And using this list here, we can map a managed property to one of those values. So like line 3, line 4, line 5, we're going to do that in our table example here soon. The syntax is varies slightly, but the first part is the display name. And this first example here is for the content search web part. And in the brackets is actually what gets displayed on the web part on the side in the properties. So if you want to configure what that says to the user, you can change it there. And then the second part is a mapping. So you can specify a default value. So if you want to default that first value to the title, or maybe it's the path or the value or something like that, you can. And then it's just comma delimited. So we'll go through this when we're actually working on the managed properties, and we'll look at the various things we need to add. So now I want to take what we had, and I want to generate something new. I want to have my search results look like a grid, because I get this request a lot. I've had this since 2007, because then they're like, well, I want Excel and stuff like that. You know, they want to see a nice grid view of their search results, and display templates actually makes it pretty easy to do, well, relatively easy. So, but let's look at some of the types first, because we're going to have to edit two display templates to make this happen, the control and the item. So there's our control template. The group is actually in there, so you'll see that on content search. The item is the result inside. Then we have our refiner on the left. And then, of course, our hover panel. And we can actually edit all of these. To get our results in a grid, we need to change the control template and the grid template. So last time we just, the item template. Last time we just changed the item template. Now we're going to change both. Because basically we have to create a table wrapper of the control template. And in the item template, we have to write out the table rows. So the control template is what wraps everything. So and this is what it's going to kind of look like when we're done. And then the item template is the individual row. That make sense? All right, you're still with me. So with the content search web part, the same template's used in all results, whereas in the search center result web part, you can actually have different items using different item templates based on the type, which is probably what you saw in Matt's session. Now, for this, we're going to need some jQuery, right? And I'm sure a lot of you all are using jQuery already and have been for years, right? Still awake? Okay, I see some heads nodding. So first thing, don't assume jQuery is already loaded. You might even find something called $ when you're like in a debugger. It's not jQuery. So some web parts might happen to load it, or you know, but for the most part, if your master page hasn't put it in there for you, don't assume it's there. So we can also include it dynamically, which is what we're going to do today. And we could register it with our dollar include script. So you can use this off of a CDN. Then once you do it, you need to use this get unique ID method on our CTX object to generate unique IDs and keep track of them. And the reason why we do that is because we generate the IDs up front, and then when we're writing out the individual elements in the HTML, we use that ID so we can find it later, you know, in the DOM. So the last thing I'll say is don't try to access elements directly in your display template with jQuery, because it will never work. And that's because all the script or the HTML you have gets written out all at once in one bulk, so it won't be present until it's all rendered, which is why we have this thing called onPostRender. This is basically your equivalent of document.ready from jQuery. So we're going to go into a more involved demo. We're going to create a grid. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to start on our new legal services site. Legal wants to see their results in a grid, right? No problem. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to go edit this, and I'm going to show you the display template. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to jump straight over to my library of display templates. I showed you how to get this, do this earlier. And what we're going to do is I'm going to click on Files, and we're going to kind of go to the library. And I'm going to open it up with Explorer. And I think I actually already have it open. Nope, that's not it. So we'll give it a second. So there it goes. And so now we're looking at the files directly on here. Now, again, we like to copy, edit, and upload, right? So I don't want to, you know, start from scratch. So I'm going to take Control List, and I'm going to copy it. And I'm going to make my own. We're going to call it Control Grid. So we'll give it a second to copy. Then we'll rename it. We're just going to call this Control _ Grid. And I'm also going to use item diagnostic for the individual item result row. So we're going to go ahead and copy it right now while we're here. And so I'm going to paste it, and we're going to call this item _ grid row. So we'll give that just a second. Item _ grid row is what we're calling it. Okay, that's great. But I'm not going to edit these here, because I'm going to show you that we can edit these in a lot of different ways. So we're going to jump over to SharePoint Designer. And you might think, okay, where are these things located again? They're in the master pages folder, right? You might think, okay, I can click on master pages and find them. Wrong. It's filtered. It's only looking for files of .master, right? So does anybody remember old school days back in 2007, how we used to find stuff in the master page gallery? Yeah, so we got to go to all files. And if you don't click on it, sometimes it doesn't work the first time, so you got to do it again, right? That's just how awesome it is. Then you click on catalogs, and where do I go next? Master page. All right, so now we can find it. So under display templates, we'll go to content web parts. And the reason why I did the renaming outside of SharePoint Designer is because SharePoint Designer honestly messes it up a lot. So it'll mess up your encoding, and you can get it to work, but it's much faster doing it this way. Now, we need to edit control _ grid. So I'm going to edit this file in advanced mode. And the reason I do that is so it doesn't close the other window where all my files are listed. And we're going to do a few things. First, we're going to call this a grid, right? We have to have a descriptive title. I'm not going to worry about the description again. And what we're going to do is we're going to come down a little bit. And I need a few things. I need some IDs for these DOM elements I was talking about. Oops, sorry. So right in here is what I'm going to do. I'm going to create a new variable called encoded ID. And what we're going to use, we're going to do $HTML encode. And this is just a built-in function that comes with display templates to do HTML encoding. And then we're going to use ctx.clientControl. This is kind of our access to anything DOM-wise for a display template. And I'm going to call get next unique ID. And I'm also going to append a human readable string to this particular ID. We're just going to call this plus underscore table. And then we'll just close it like that. And then what happens typically to the scenario you use is you keep appending things to this ID. So I'm going to create one for the header row of the table we're going to write. So we're going to call this header row ID. And again, I'm just going to HTML encode. And I'm going to add an encoded ID. And then I'm just going to append another string to it, call this header row. And again, it doesn't really matter what you call it. You just need to call it something. So when your JavaScript is executing, you have some way to reference what you've written down below. Now, I need to go clean up a few more things. This particular section, the list render render wrapper, executes once for each item result that goes through. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to kill these li elements because we're writing a table and not a list item. And then I'm going to get rid of this UL because that's how it was writing there. So we're going to get rid of that and that. And I'm going to zoom out for just a second where I can grab a snippet of code here. And I'm just going to borrow this particular table header. So I'm going to paste this here. So I just pasted my table here. And here's that encoded ID I did earlier. And here's the header row ID that I generated as well. So now you see how we have a reference to a DOM element. We can, you know, kind of connect those with the JavaScript. I'm also going to come down here, and I'm going to close our table cell. So we're going to save that. We are done in there. And now we're going to go work on the item diagnostic file. So we called this item grid row. I'm going to edit that file in advanced mode as well. I'm going to just call this a grid row so it has a nice unique name. And we're going to go through and do a lot of damage to this file. So I'm actually going to start here, and I'm going to get rid of almost everything in it because it's just way too much from what we need. So I'm going to get rid of most of this. And don't worry about capturing all this because I'm posting these display templates in just a few minutes. So I'm going to get rid of all that, and I'm going to put in another nice little snippet here that writes out our grid row. And I'll explain what this does here in just a second. So we're going to copy that, and I'll paste that in, and then we'll zoom in. So I'm writing in something with a class of grid row, and then we're going through the managed properties that are on the side, 1 through 10. Remember how we showed you those? And so it's going to iterate through 1 through 10, and if it finds a table cell, it's going to write it out with this line value info object. And we can also use this to get the value of our managed property names later. So we're going to save that. And then I'm going to go back to our legal web part site. So I'm just going to load that back up. And we'll edit this particular thing. And scrolling down, we're going to edit this web part. Again, we got to go look for the edit web part menu. And when that loads, we'll be able to select our new, see, so now we're selecting grid. And now we're selecting grid row. And now we have a little grid. But you notice there's only one column displayed there. It could look a little better, right? So let's do a couple things real quick. Let's add a few properties. And I'm going to click that change the manage properties checkbox. And description doesn't have much value to us. So we're going to add the author and the modified date, which is this property called write. Now we have to say OK to save that. So I'm going to save OK. And then I'm going to save the page as well, just so we have a better view of it. And now we have a simple table, right? I mean, it looks okay, but we could do better, right? So, yeah, that's what I thought. So I want to add a header row to it first. We need that because I don't even know what we're looking at, right? And then it needs to be pretty, right? So we can do this. Now, the fortunate thing is when it comes to working with these things, the header row needs to be written out before the item results. The problem is the item results are the only thing that know what the managed properties are. The control template doesn't know. So we have to store the values of this in an array using the context object and push it back up and write it in after the fact using the DOM. Sounds a little convoluted, but it's not too bad. We can get through it. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to jump over back to SharePoint Designer because I know you all love that. And we're going to add some jQuery first. So I'll zoom in, don't worry. And so first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to grab this include script for jQuery, and I'm just pulling this in off the CDN. So right there, that's all it takes. And then we need to go down and add a new array to our contacts object. So I'm just going to initialize a new array called managed property names. Oops, I zoomed the wrong way. So that's all we're doing there. We'll save that one. Now, in the item grid row, we're going to add a line of code here to write the name of the managed properties. Because remember, this line value info object actually has that value for us. So I'll take this piece of code. And what this piece of code says is only execute if this is the first item in the result set. So that's what I'm doing is I'm checking it here. Is it item 0? Yes. OK, push the name of the managed property onto the object. Lastly, we have to use that concept of onPostRender, our jQuery document.ready, to write the value into the DOM. So what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to grab this last snippet of code. And I totally clicked on the wrong spot. That's for later. And we'll just put it right here. And what this does is there's an onPostRender. We initialize this array, and we're pushing on a function that iterates one through the length of the managed properties array and simply adds a th element to that header row ID that I generated up here. We'll save that. And now we'll go back to our site. And now, if all goes well, we will have a table header. Title, author, right. Pretty cool, right? Thank you. But wait, there's more. Y'all know the data tables library? Who's used that? All right. Why don't we use that? So that's easy to do, luckily, right? Two lines of code, and we're there. So let's do this. I'm going to grab a script element and a CSS element from here. Again, we're just pulling them off the CDN because that's just easy. And I'm going to go up here to our control grid and paste it in. And then we need one line of code, which is just using, again, that encoded ID, right? And I'm going to put this into our post render event right here. Save it. And assuming that the script loads the first time, because sometimes it doesn't, we should have a table. What do you think of that? So don't worry, I know I went through a lot of code, but it's on my blog in just half a second. There, now it's on my blog. Or it will be here shortly, as soon as the cache clears and if the internet works. So let's go ahead and keep going, because we got more to show you. So sometimes, you know, it doesn't go smoothly, right? And you have an error. So luckily, there's ways to debug it. So we can load a developer toolbar with F12. And what you do is you look for that particular script where you had an HTML file. You look for the JS file that was associated with the name you did. And you set your breakpoint, and then you reload the page. But remember, scripts load on demand. So if you're doing something like a hover panel, you actually have to show the hover panel first, get the script to show up, then set the breakpoint, then refresh. It's kind of a pain, but it's not terrible. This is the life of, you know, client-side, you know, debugging now, right? We can also use the debugger statement, and if we have time, I'll actually do it. And you can use Visual Studio as well. So let's go and create some bugs. So first thing we're going to do is I'm going to go into our script that we had here. And I'm going to, you know, let's see. I think we're going to need to debug something here. But so I'm going to go into our page. I'm going to hit F12. And we click this little icon here. And we'll scroll down and we'll find item grid row. And up at the top is where you'll actually see some of the property mappings. And you'll even see some of your code eventually. But what's interesting is, let's see, I want to set a breakpoint like maybe right here. Actually, that's not where I want it. So we're up there. And so I'll refresh the page. And when you're in there, you'll see this mso.html.push. That's actually the JavaScript that's writing your HTML. So now we're in here, and I can click on the stuff, and I can iterate through here. And now I can see, you know, here's the managed property I'm working with. Here's the value, things like that. So it's a good way to just kind of get debugging, you know. But I won't spend a whole bunch of time on that, so I'm just going to clear our breakpoint, and I'm going to show you one more way to do it. I'm going to add a statement in our control grid. So we're just going to go back over here real quick. And right here, I'm just going to type debugger and save it. And I'm going to jump over here and reload that page. And what's going to happen is it's going to pop up and it's going to launch Visual Studio. And see, and the reason it did this is because I disabled script debugging in Internet Explorer. So I'm going to use the existing instance I have open. It will take probably longer than you care for it, but if you're going to do a long debugging session, this is a good way to do it. But it does take a bit more time than just doing it straight in your browser. But you see on the side, it loaded all the particular display templates, or sorry, the scripts for display templates. And now we can actually start clicking through. So here's CTX, and you know, here's our client control, and you can start seeing, you know, various things into the object when you're debugging. So it's easy to get the information you need, and you have a couple options. Sound good? All right. So let's go and now look at things from the Search Center standpoint. So result types you learned a ton about in Matthew McDermott's session. Basically what these do is say, for this rule that fired, say that it's a PowerPoint document, that use this display template. Really cool. Now, once we start digging deep, there's various different types. So we were doing an item template before, but now in the Search Center, you have to know that there's a couple caveats. So when you're doing, like, maybe you want to have a custom Excel template, there's only these sections in there that you can actually edit, because the rest of it's shared. So the center part there is actually rendered by a part called item, common item, underscore body. So if you want to have global effect in your Search Center and apply it to multiple result types, that's where you do it. Otherwise, you wrap it around before and after. Hover panels also work the same way. So you define the link to the hover panel in the item template. So there's a URL called hover URL, and you just provide it the path to the JavaScript. And so that's how you create the link between your item template and the hover template. Hover templates have a lot of areas, though. So, and a lot of them are shared. So you can edit the header, but the specific result type, so in this case, this is a Word document. This is this section here and that section there at the bottom. Finally, there's a shared area for the body, and we're going to actually edit that here in a little bit. And then you can also create custom actions. So that's why if you have a Yammer link or a post link, you can create, you know, just any kind of link you want by using HTML and some anchor tags. So this is just kind of a reference slide. So these are the three files we're going to look at. There's the header, the body, and the actions. The common hover panel underscore body displays common content such as like the author and date. And it's executed by this function called ctx.renderBody. So when you start diving into these, you'll see this. If you want to toggle visibility things, you're going to have to write JavaScript. This kind of goes back to the XSLT areas. If something like this, do something like that. And you just have to handle this on kind of a global level inside your site collection. The actions, if you want to add your own actions, you can just write a condition, say, hey, if this is an Excel document, add the super link to our Excel site or something like that. So that's how that works. Just it's nothing but simple anchor tags. We're going to actually edit the body and do something kind of fun. So what I want to do is I want to edit our search results, and I want to display the average rating of what the users have ranked it at. So let's see what's involved to make that happen. Okay. So we're going to go to our Search Center here, and we're going to do some tweaking here. So I'm going to look for some employee evaluations back from the year 2011, because they're really important. I want to see what they're ranked. So what we're going to do is we're going to add ranking right here. And it's not too hard to do. So how are we going to do that? Well, first we need to get to the file. So these files, remember, are in a different spot. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump over to our display templates library, and I'm going to say cancel. Yes, I want to leave this page. We'll give this just a second to come up. And we'll go to display templates. And these are under search. And so when that loads, what we're going to do is we're going to edit our item default page. So I'm going to find this here, but I'm just going to use the Open with Explorer button like we did before. We'll close this one because we're on a different site. So we'll give that a second to come up. There it is. And so I'm going to edit item default. So this is one of those times where I'm not actually making a copy, but it's okay because I'm in an isolated site collection here. And we're going to edit this file directly. And what I want to do is add a few managed properties that we're going to need. So I have these here. I'm going to flip back. It'll take just a second. And so on this manage property line, I just have to go to the end, and I'm going to add average rating colon average rating, because that's the manage property that has it. And while I'm here, I'm going to grab a couple others, because we're going to need them as well. This is the list item ID that actually references the item, so I'm going to paste those in as well. So we'll save that directly. We're actually done in this item default file, because remember, the default file is what launches the hover panel URL here. So we'll close that. And then we're going to go back here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to edit item common hover panel underscore body in Notepad as well. You know, let's close that. This thing performs better when you close them. And so this is the shared file that gets executed on all hover panels. And we're just going to scroll down to the bottom. And I'm going to add, you know, just a div, type in a rating, and then we're going to use this funky syntax that we talked about, underscore pound equals, and we're just going to do ctx.currentItem.averageRating. Then we'll equals pound underscore, and then we'll close our div. And so that will give us straight up what the rating is. So let's refresh the page as soon as that finishes saving. I'm just going to hit refresh. And when it comes up, we'll see a hover panel, and we'll see that value. So we'll give it a second. We know that SharePoint's run a little slow today, but that's OK. So there you go, rating 4. But you know, that doesn't look very good, right? And users like the little star controls, right? Why don't we build one? So OK, how do we do that? Well, it's not too bad of a process. So we're going to go back to our hover panel body, and I'm going to just take this little snippet of code. First thing I need to do is I need to grab, oops, I skipped too far. I'm going to grab this little snippet, and then I'll walk you through it. Oops, and I closed when I didn't need to close. So we'll let that come back open. Come on. Need to be patient. Going back to our file, and I'm just going to paste this in after our div. Let me show you what it's doing. So what we're doing is we're taking the average rating, and I need to get the fraction portion and the integer portion. That's just so I can do half stars, right? And then same kind of technique we did before. I need to generate a DOM ID for these each anchor tag that I'm writing to the page. So I'm doing that with the ID that was generated before. That's like the encoded ID I used. And I'm just adding the index of the star. Then I'm simply just going through, and I'm just quick and dirty writing out the image tags. The way you'd probably do this in reality is probably using some CSS and some hover. But to make it simple, We're going to write a filled star if you know it has a lower rating, a half star, or an empty star based on just you know what those values are. So I'll save that. Give it just a second to save, and it looks like it's finished. And then we're going to go over to Internet Explorer, and now we'll refresh. And when it comes up, we should have some nice looking stars. And as Matt was saying, you know, the it's running a little slow, but we'll give it a second. So, how's the Wi-Fi been this week? Better than last time. So come on, we'll, if we all chant, maybe it'll start. The page will refresh. There it goes. All right. Let's see. Let's see if we have our values. And hey, look, we have stars. But wait, there's more. We need to be able to click on them, right? All right. That takes a little more code. Let's do it. Okay. So what we need to do is we need to use the same onPost render event type syntax to add the call to call into the client-side object model to set the rating. And that's why I added the list ID and the list item ID as managed properties. But there's a couple pieces to it that are a little more involved, unfortunately. So I'll give Notepad just a second to respond. It does act a little slower when you're going to SharePoint Online. First, let's get some script blocks in here. I need my jQuery, and I need reputation.js sitting in the 15 hive. So we're going to go up to the top. These actually go on item default, I forgot, so I should have done that while I was there. So let's just open it back up. Always reference your scripts and your hover panels in the default, in the item template that's calling it. So we'll give that a second to load, and actually, yes. I think that's where I want it. So we'll paste it in. All I'm doing is loading the script, the jQuery, and the reputation. And then we're going to add a post render event. I should have closed that. To our item common hover panel body. So we're just going to find an empty spot that's not too cluttered. The actual spot doesn't matter too much. I think we can just put it here. And so this time I'm using add post render callback. There's actually two ways to do it. This is kind of my preferred way. Again, we're pushing a function onto it, and then we're iterating through the stars, and we're adding a click handler, and I'm passing in the index as well so that I can actually tell how many stars were clicked. Now, to use that rating, you have to have a client context object of the web or site, not the site collection, hosting that particular document. Unfortunately, Search doesn't have that information. It only has the site collection. So we have to go through another hoop to get it by using API context info, which you may be familiar with if you're an app developer because you maybe use it for, you know, digest and things like that. So it has the information we need. So what we do is we use $.ajax. Wait for it to come back over and paste this in. So I use $.ajax, and I take the current item, and the CSR underscore path has the path to the item. And I'm just doing a subscreen method to yank off the file name and give me the the document folder hosting it. And then we're doing underscore API underscore context info. We're going to post to it, and when it's successful, in data.d.contextwebinformation.webfullurl, that has the URL that we need to get to that object. So the last thing we need to do is just call setRating. So we do this. First, we use the list ID and the list item ID. Those are the managed properties we added earlier. So we have the web URL. We have the list item IDs, right? That's just ctx.currentItem, then the name. Then with the client context object, we're using that web URL. We can pass it to reputationModel.setRating. With client context, and on the last parameter is actually the value, 1 through 5. So I have to add 1 because I have a 0 index. If it's successful, it'll give me a nice notification saying the document was rated. So I'm going to save that. And then hopefully, you know, it'll refresh longer than it did last time, or shorter, I should say. So we will refresh the page again. Much faster that time. All right. Then we'll hover over, and you know, I really don't like this document that much, so let's give it a bad rating. And if all went well, it didn't work. Did I not save it, or did it not go through? It says it did. Added my click handlers. Let's try it one more time. Maybe it didn't. Maybe it got cached. It doesn't seem clickable. So I'll tell you what it looks like if I did it right. So we'll do the same thing. Code looks right. So maybe I do like the document. Oh, and see, you got to be patient. But see, I did it so fast it aired out. But see, there you went. It rated it. So not too hard to implement. Pretty easy, nice value add that you can get to your customers. And the idea I kind of got even came from, you know, a request from a client. So they seem to like it. So we have one more thing to show you. First, you know, don't you hate it when Americans come up here and we forget that the rest of the world speaks languages other than English? So try not to be that guy. These actually support localization. It's actually pretty easy to do. There's these script files in the display templates language file culture folder. So the culture would be, you know, ENUS or FR-FR or whatever your particular language is, DED, you know. Inside each folder, there's a file called customstrings.js, or you can create your own. Now, I pointed that out in the script at the top. There's this $ include language script. This is what makes the magic happen. It knows to pass the right culture in for the user. And when you use $ resource, you just look up a string, and it looks it up in the array that's in that file and writes the appropriate string. We also have some refinement display templates. I'm going to show you one quick customization. Anybody remember, you know, how excited people got in Fast Search for SharePoint when they added refinement counts? No one? I guess some of you did, right? Because we didn't have it in 2010 or 7, right? Not without external stuff. And then 2013, they yanked it out, right? It's actually really easy to put back. It's actually been there all along. They just have it disabled. So I'll show you how to turn it on real quick. Super easy customization to do. So I'm going to go again back to our folder. And remember, the refinement templates were in what folder? Oh, sorry. I knew I was bound to do that at some point. You didn't miss anything anyway. SharePoint Online was still loading. And the display templates, they're in the filters folder. And the default refiner is filter_default.html. I'm going to edit this file. And if you look down here, show counts is false. Okay, well, what happens if we make it true? Let's save that. We'll give it a second. Now, this particular one, and I need to go back to our previous site. So I'm just going to click on this. Go to our previous site collection. We'll wait for it. And when it loads, I'll issue a new query. And sometimes it does get cached and hung up. But let's look for our sales deck. And you notice now, our refiners have counts. So super easy customization to do. Is that something useful that you can use it back at home? Awesome. Okay, so the next thing I want to show you as we're ending, reaching the end, is some reference material that you can take with you to kind of get started. Because I showed you a lot of JavaScript today, I know. And so I want you to, you know, have a reference when you're going back and looking through this deck and trying to figure out how to do your own display templates of what's important. So I have about 6 or 7 slides of this that you can just refer to. I'm not going to read every one of these off to you, but I want you to have it for your use. First, dollar get item value. You use these in your content search display templates to get the value, and you pass in the CTX object plus the name of the managed property on the side of when you're editing that particular properties to get the value. Now, and you can also just do ctx.currentItem.averageRating like we did before, or list ID or list item ID or any kind of managed property you've defined. Just write directly on the typed object. But see, there's uses for both of them. Now, there's a bunch of utility classes built in too under search.u. And this particular one retrieves the author name from the field, so it gives you a nice username. We use some of these on our set rating example, so list ID, item ID. You can also get the site collection by doing SP site URL. Now, you have to map them in that managed property mapping like we did, but those values are there. They're out of the box. You don't have to do anything to get to them. We included some scripts in our demos. The first example is a relative URL. The second is a fully qualified URL, like if you're going off a CDN. I'm trying to give you all time to take pictures as well. Include CSS in the same way. One thing with include script, you can also use like sp.sod and things like that. And there's some debates on which one's better. Sp.sod is supposed to do it more synchronously, right? Where sometimes with dollar include script, it does it asynchronously, and it may or may not be loaded. Luckily, it happened to load in time for me. So just be aware that there's a lot of different ways to load scripts. We used our add post render callback. This is kind of my preferred way to do it, using add post render callback as opposed to the other method where we're pushing it onto the array. If you need the client context of the site, there's a helper function to get it right there. And we can also get the number of items on the client control, which is good if you're going to write your own paging or something like that. We use some of these, client control.getID, get next unique ID. This is for when you're working with the DOM. Then there's some nice helper functions for checking for nulls and strings and things like that. And, yeah, you can use jQuery to do a lot of this stuff, too. But, you know, they worked hard to get all this stuff in there. And when you're looking through these display templates, you'll see them. And they're aliased. So if you see search.u.e and you're like, what is that? What are they doing? Well, it's actually referenced to is empty string. And the way you find that out, honestly, is by looking at ctx.clientcontrols.debug.js. I think that's right. Because that's really the only documentation you have is by looking at these other display templates that are out there. We did HTML encode, right? URL encode as well. I'll wait just a second longer. Get it? Again, these will be in the slide deck, so you don't have to do it. And I wrote a blog post last week that came out on .NETMafia.com. It has all of these and a bunch more. So every JavaScript function you ever possibly need to know to work with display templates, at least my stab at it. So let's recap what we did. We went through CSR. We went through display templates. We went through all the basics of that. We dived deep into them, right? We looked at really some of the deep components of what is involved in a display template. We looked at what makes them up and how they relate together. We customize them, we debug them, right? So we looked at, a nice deep dive in what you can really do with display templates. So you can use your imagination on what you implement, but I like to use simple examples that you can kind of build from and things that aren't so, conceptual and have so many web service callouts that, you don't know what it's actually doing. So I'm going to leave you with a bunch of resources here. These are the posts I've listed in the last week or two leading up to this section. They're all on .NETMafia.com. For example, 4 tips for using jQuery, tips for using SharePoint Designer, how to get that client context. You saw why that was important when we did the set rating, for example. My example for results in the grid, I think it did get posted. Yes, it did, so it's already there. The average rating one, I haven't finished yet. I'm sorry, it's almost done. And then just that big post of JavaScript that you should know. So hopefully this will give you a good reference out there, because when I was learning it, there wasn't a lot of resources out there. Most of the stuff I found out was simply by looking at all the out-of-the-box display templates. So hopefully you don't have to do that and you have a bigger leg up when you're trying to do this. So calls to action, yeah, he saw this a lot, right? But seriously, Microsoft's listening, and they want your feedback, especially when it comes to APIs. So office-sbdev.uservoice.com is really important, and I really stress you to go there. If you find that there's things missing in the API that you need or some problems that you're having, you know, maybe you want managed metadata in REST or something like that, you know, go out there and vote for it because they're actually crossing things off the list. For example, we got a people picker last week, right? That's a big deal because those are hard to do in apps. So they are paying attention. I really do encourage you to go out there and vote for, you know, what's important to you in the client model. And, of course, I know it's the last session almost. Michael Svensson's coming up after that. He's a search god. I encourage you to go see his session if you want to learn more. But try to remember to do your evaluations. I know it's hard. I'll be up here for a Q&A for the next 13 minutes and 15 seconds. So I thank you all for coming.